Captain America, Thor, or Iron Man?
I think if Captain America has a beard, I'll go with bearded Captain America.
Okay, all right. I can dig that qualification.
But I think, like, Ragnarok was, like, the most fun I've had at a movie for a really long time.
Mm.
So I think I'm going to go with Thor, because he also consistently has the beard.
This is true. He does rock that beard. And then...
Especially, like, now that it's, like, his actual hair color and not that blonde wig.
Yeah.
That they gave him in, like, 1 and 2.
Right.
It's, like, actually, like, a Cuban color. Well, kind of the color of your hair, the wig is.
Yeah, That's pretty much true.
But I imagine his is fake and yours might be real.
It might be.
Actually, like, seen it.
No, never. We've never been in close enough proximity before in our lives to where you could actually... validate whether or not my hair is real or fake. That has never happened.
Nope.
All right, yeah,
so
Thor is your final answer? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, let's go with Thor.
All right, I can dig it. I can also dig your reasoning. That's pretty solid. I think I'm also going to borrow on the qualification of bearded, but bearded Cap, I'm thinking I'm going to go with Cap, because as much as he's like the classic do-gooder kind of thing, I think they've developed him really well in the MCU. So he's fun. He's done some good stuff, and it's hard not to like see the movies that are his movies and how titanic his movies have been, which is a little unfair when he's got like Winter Soldier and Civil War kind of stacking up against the other sequels.
Well, he's always been like Avengers X and a half.
Right.
Like Winter Soldier is just Avengers 1.5.
Right.
And then Civil War was 2.5.
Right. Yeah. That's
and
just
the thing
it.
Is like, it's kind of boring as first Avenger is sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like Thor 1 and 2 are always boring.
I guess. Yeah.
Like, it's really great if you've never seen Lord of the Rings.
Mm. Fair enough.
If you have, you're just kind of like, oh, this is like kind of the traveling portion. Where's the Sauron?
Fair enough. And we've both... very nonchalantly just shied away from Tony, because it's just kind of the whole, like, there's almost just too much of him, and not that they've done that in a bad way, but he's just become kind of the main character in so many ways that you're just kind of like, all right, it's cool, but
I think
we've had enough.
I think it's kind of like, because even Homecoming was like, oh, another Iron Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doctor Strange was like magical Iron Man.
Yeah.
So it feels like whether or not we've seen too much of Tony or of Iron Man, we've seen a lot of Tony.
This is very true.
And no matter who he's been or who has been accompanying his role, it feels like it's like Tony Stark's movie and everyone else kind of plays along in it.
Right. Yeah, that's like, very true.
It doesn't help that Iron Man 3, you want to call it boring and that's fine. It's a slower movie.
Right.
But, like, I think it did some of the best character work to move him off the stage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But since then, I think he's been, like, sticking around a little too long. And
right.
It would just be kind of nice to, like, I'm glad if Phase 4 moves us into the next round of heroes, but it kind of feels still a little too late.
Right. Well, before we go... because we're already just launching in that direction. So before we go too far into our topic, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Hello, friends. This is episode 61 of the MinMax podcast. And you're listening to your current solo host, Kyle, with my good friend, Chris Wormeskirch. So, Chris, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are. Where did you come from?
Well, 26 years ago. Well, okay.
Okay.
Maybe we'll start that.
Yeah, it almost made me do a spit take all over my two computers, which would have ended really disastrously.
Yeah, we'll save those details for the end.
Yeah, let's maybe skip ahead a few chapters.
All right, so a few chapters later, remember, well, so currently I am more of a Star Wars writer, but I think like in today's era, when you've got a Star Wars followed up by three MCU movies and you like never leave the theater anymore,
yeah,
you kind of, these kind of overlap.
This is true.
So I write a few different Star Wars websites, but the MCU has long since given me that like good kind of release, the kind of like something you don't have to think about anymore. But if you want a TV show to watch, you've got like six to be behind on.
Yep. That is exactly true.
I think it gives you like this such like this fun like always present, like you ever need an escape, there's something new in the MCU to watch.
This is true.
And I think that's cool.
So, most important question, the question that we ask every single guest who ever comes on the podcast: when did you first realize you were a nerd?
Yeah. So I feel like maybe if we want to cast the net of nerd a little too widely, when I was a kid, I used to bang on my mom's door until she would let me watch Sesame Street in the morning so I could learn how to read faster.
Yeah, that's functionally nerd, without a doubt.
Yeah. And then I would impress all my family members by memorizing the numbers, not really knowing how to count, just having a song memorized.
Yep.
So they gave me books a lot earlier than I think most kids did, but that all went out the window one night when my cousin and I were looking for something to watch, and he suggested Star Wars, and I was maybe like five.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, that sounds boring. Little did I know.
Oh, the irony.
All three in a row that maybe I like this kind of thing. And I remember my dad had a coworker, and he would bring his comics to work, and I would sometimes sneak over and read them. This was before, like, you would get a bag and board pretty much, like, at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So no one would realize I'm slipping them out of the bag to read them. And I just remember, which is funny, so I started with X-Men, but I can't really say I have much interest in X-Men comic or movie-wise at this rate.
Right.
So then I started to read. I became a fan probably around the Avengers Disassembled storyline. And then so it was the new Avengers when Spider-Man joined, which is fortunate timing on my part.
Yeah.
Because that just gives me Spider-Man forever.
Right.
So most of my MCU was Ultimate Comics. And this is when Star Wars was like moving post movies. And kind of the, you know, the legends, which is also synonymous with nonsense.
That's a different episode, Chris. We don't go there yet.
Not yet. So I think the Ultimate Comics were what sustained my nerddom for a while. So I owe a lot to the Ultimates before kind of the end when they themselves started to implode, mm-hmm. when they couldn't figure anything new to do, so they became edgy for the sake of edginess. And then were wound up subsumed into regular comics anyway.
Right.
But I think it also helped that, I mean, Hulk came out, what was that, 10 years ago?
Been pretty close, shortly after.
Angsty Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been around that time.
Yeah, we don't, not only because it's useless to the MCU, but could you even tell me anything that happens in it other than the Hulk appears?
Not really.
But I think it was kind of cool because like for us, well, for me at least, to turn 15 when the MCU like kicked off.
Right.
It's almost half of my entire life.
Right. This is true.
So not only is like the Marvel or nerddom my life, it's like you can specifically point to one aspect of nerddom and say the MCU.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy when you think about the fact that we just got to Infinity War, which 10 years of storytelling is, and I hate to sound like a commercial for them, but 10 years of storytelling leading up like this year.
Right.
And at some points it doesn't feel like it's been that long, and at some points it feels like we've always been in the cocoon of the MCU.
This is true.
There have been Ghost Riders or Blades or Electras.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the MCU.
Right.
It also feels like, oh, wow, we finally get to the Infinity War. Weird. That was quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is like a surreal feeling. And I realized this morning that it's kind of fortuitous that we're recording this, at least, on the day that we are, because today is the DVD release for Infinity War. Even so, I am totally, as soon as we're done recording, going over to the store and picking up Infinity War.
That's true. I was kind of sitting trying to figure out which one I was going to buy today too, because like some of them are like talking about like the MCU edition, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, but
yeah,
it's the magic word,
right?
Special edition.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I suppose there's one more story we need to get into, which is the reason you definitely know that I, or definitely don't know that I have, whatever. Anyway.
Oh, yes. Let me tell this from my side, because I think it's funnier.
Oh, you're infinitely funnier than I am, so please do.
Thank you. I'm glad we've come there. So, Kyle and I went to, well, and actually Ashley and Alan and Kyle and I all went to the same school.
Right.
But for right now, it's just me and Kyle. And I remember signing up to live in on-campus housing, and they were like, well, we don't really set up roommates. We can just tell people who need roommates that like you're up for it. And I'm like, that's essentially just like, anyway.
Yeah.
So I had lived with our third roommate for about, oh gosh, it was a while.
Yeah. It was like 2 weeks or something like that.
2 weeks. So I had lived with our third roommate for a while. And then we had come home. I think we went to the Chick-fil-A across the street to find like this bushy man and his father in our house carrying furniture. And we were like, oh, this must be the mysterious Kyle. And so you unloaded all your stuff and then you left. So when I text you, I'm like, how long are you, or when are you coming back? And you said Friday. Well, it was like Friday. So we were like, oh, so who knows? He could be back whenever. So I took it upon myself to see what you had already set out, to find Legos, to find a picture of you dressed as Gambit, to find a lot of like comic stuff poking out. And it's like, okay, this might be good. And then you do the first thing you do when you meet someone, and I poke through your bookshelf.
Oh, yeah.
To find piles of Star Wars paperbacks and the graphic novels. And I was like, how in the world do we have a random pairing of roommates and then get like us?
Yeah.
Find ourselves agreeing on almost everything in terms of personality, interests, almost everything except the type of Star Wars we like.
Yeah. Or, again, different episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just cracks me up because I had crept you on Facebook before you moved in to see what I didn't know it was Gambit, because like your profile is so blocked on Facebook.
Yeah.
But it says Gambit in the picture. And I had no reason to think it was cosplay at all.
Right. Because really the picture that I had for the longest, like it's really hard to actually tell. It basically just looks like me with weird hair and like a thing on my head. And you can see me holding up a handful of cards.
And it kind of just, you kind of look like this bushy man of the forest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no. What is moving in with us?
Yeah.
And then I saw your full picture in your frame to see like the staff and the cards and the gauntlets, and I was like, oh thank god.
Yeah.
Not only is it not a serial killer, it's a comic.
Yep. Yeah. That
and
was
like, man, I think we went to see a Marvel movie real quick after you moved in too.
It seems like it. I don't have any idea what it would have been, but it was fairly early on.
It was because it was at Ultron. Ultron came out my last month of college.
Yeah.
So whatever one was post Ultron,
Yeah, it would have been.
Because I remember, like, also when I had you wait in the theater to buy Force Awakens tickets.
Right. That was that first December when we were living together. Yep, because you were out driving and you're like, dude, you have to go get us Force Awakens tickets. And I was really, really, really anti-new canon. Like, as much as everybody knows, I am still anti-new canon. I was, like, fuming hatred of new canon at that point.
Yeah.
And not willing to even give it a chance. And so you told me to do that, and I was like, oh, I hate you so much because you just baited me into this because you know I'm a people pleaser and you know I'm going to say yes. And you already talked me into going with you now, so
yeah.
Then we ended up with tickets.
But then you didn't end up going.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Well, to be fair, it's because I realized I was going to be broke if I kept doing what I was doing, and I really needed to go home and just do some extra work to actually have money to keep going to school. So kind of a necessary evil in that case, but
yeah. But yeah, it was so nice because we lived like walking distance to that theater.
Yeah, it was perfect.
We tried for a while to watch Agents together.
Yeah.
Did a good job.
Yeah. I mean, it was always hard to match up our schedules. So it ended up being like we're like 12 episodes behind. Let's like get together. We just watched like 4 in a row kind of thing. So that was pretty fun though. I do have to admit that
we did Daredevil too, right?
I think we watched both seasons of Daredevil together.
Yeah. Because, and that was about the last thing I watched. We watched Jessica too, I think.
I think we were going to, and then it just didn't work out timing-wise with Jessica.
Because we got all the way to the season 4. We were in season 4 of Agents together. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then I was just kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
But I'm only up to Defenders in terms of the Netflix right now,
which, just, you know, for fair warning, Jessica season 2, meh, but Luke Cage season 2, that was fabulous. Like, Jessica Jones
needs to be blown away again, but I'll say this here because I trust all of my new fans to be forgiving. I actually kind of liked Iron Fist. I didn't think it was as boring as everyone thought it was.
Yeah, see, I was kind of in the same boat. Like, I see what they were trying to do with it. It wasn't, you know, the strongest show, but
yeah.
I think if they pull through and actually do some good stuff with season 2, it would be something of a redemption.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Random side note here. So, for all of the regular listeners, I got a dog this weekend, which is super cool, except for she's currently laying under my chair and chewing on my sock, which I am wearing.
You better give her that sock. Well, she's a good.
I would rather not teach her to just take my socks and eat them, especially when I have to leave her home alone for extended hours during the day, but, you know, that's fine. So, anyway, disclaimer being, if you're hearing random noises popping up in the audio, it's probably because my dog is not sitting still right now.
Well, I think it's probably 50-50, her or me.
Well, fair enough. We're both in pretty pretty dysfunctional environments for doing podcasting at the moment.
Oh, I just meant more like my natural bodily noises.
Oh, which, again, having been roommates, I know nothing about.
No, I never woke you up in the middle of the night with my night terrors or snoring.
Oh, the good old days.
Well, and here's what I'll have to say to all my new fans. Like, Kyle lived with me when I was waking up at like 3:30 or 4 to go to Starbucks every morning.
Yeah, that was awful.
Which was dedication to hear my alarm every morning at like 3.
Yep. Yeah. Go figure. The two, like, most introverted, like, hate the idea of sharing a room people, and we just get forced into the situation where we have no options. And I am still also blown away by the fact that somehow we just had everything in common. I don't get that.
We could, like, sit in the same room and, like, not talk.
Yep.
And neither of us were bothered. Actually, we both liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to turn around and we would like both be lying in bed and one of us would just start a like Star Wars or MCU related conversation and it would go for like 10 minutes and then it would just end and we would both just know and we would just be done and we would go to sleep and that would be that.
It was great. Well, it was like the beautiful, most beautiful, nerdiest like pillow talks you've ever heard in your life.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. Talk nerdy to me.
But you know what? I think like instead of reminiscing, maybe we should like move into like awake talks.
Hey, now there is an idea. So in case it isn't obvious, because, you know, I'm not that worried about us getting into the topic because we kind of keep swerving into it and then dodging back out already. But I figured, and I have to offer another disclaimer here because this is turning into the series where I say something stupid on an episode and then immediately do another episode to make up for the stupid thing that I said in the previous episode. So last episode, it was me having Grant Lowe on to talk about how I had a terrible, I made a terrible mistake in the way I talked about Young Justice. And then when he and I were talking last episode, I made a comment about how I don't know anybody else who, you know, I can talk with about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then I immediately after that was like, oh, except for Chris, because he and I used to do that all the time. Oh, now I feel terrible. Turns around and texts Chris, hey, you want to do an episode?
It was kind of funny, too, because I like got the text from you and I was kind of like, oh, is that really? No, that must be a different Kyle.
Like, oh. Yeah. Because again, because
I like you know when you read about people who like can go months without speaking and then speak and then it's like nothing's changed, we might do that too bad.
Yeah,
like, when we went to see, because we saw Spider-Man and that was after like 2.5 months and you were just like, Chris, I haven't heard from you. And I was like, yeah, I was in a car accident.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Oh my gosh, that was the craziest. Yeah. Yeah, we just go to grab dinner and we're gonna go see Spider-Man and all of a sudden Chris starts dumping all this information on me. I was like, oh my gosh, how did I not know this?
Well, it was so funny because he was like, man, it's like you fell off the map, we were worried about you. And I was like, oh, no reason to be worried, I just had my car totaled. As I'm like limping in on a cane to go see this movie.
Oh man, yeah, that was a it was an interesting commentary on our relationship in that moment. Because, you know, naturally, I sit there and say, oh, I'm kind of worried about Chris. Did I bother to text you or call you or do anything to actually, like, initiate a conversation? Of course not, because we're introverts. We don't do that. I mean, we haven't talked, aside from this text conversation, since that time we went up to dinner before I left Chicago 6 months ago.
Yeah. At Culver's when you...
Yep.
Yeah, when you left and I was like, all right, well, I guess I have to go to class.
Yep.
Bye. Which I seriously contemplated skipping until I started like totaling the cost in my head.
Right.
Kyle, $130.
Yeah, grad school will do that to you, unfortunately. But hey, modern technology, we're talking again. It's all good.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway. Now we've just taken this way too far. I think we definitely need to start talking about some Marvel before this just becomes us reminiscing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's true. Thanks for bearing with us for so long.
Yes. Thank you, listeners. It is what we do, to be honest. So the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So let's just have a question to get us rolling. And once we're rolling, we won't have to worry about it. Excluding Infinity War, because it's just not a fair comparison. If you had to pick one favorite, or like, even if you don't call it a favorite, like one of your most go-to watchable MCU movies, what is it?
Okay. So here's where maybe I'm a little different. Because my favorite movies are the ones I'm not going to watch, like, much at all.
Okay.
Because I kind of want to save it.
So, in terms of maybe my favorite, I'd still have to say Spider-Man.
Okay. All right.
Now, the best, I think, is Winter Soldier.
Mm.
but I think my favorite is Spider-Man, because Winter Soldier, like, it's not heavy in like the drama sense. It's, but it's like a heavy movie that doesn't scream fun watch a movie time.
Yeah, but this is true. Yeah. And especially when, you know, like for us, we also see the background drama because we watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's hard to watch that movie without also knowing, like, oh gosh, all the people that we love are about to have their lives torn to pieces.
Well, and because I think the hard part is, like, you watch it and then you think about, like, turn.
Yeah.
And just the bloodbath becomes.
Yeah, right?
Oh. Not even just, like, the whole show, just that one episode.
Yep.
So it's like you're trying to watch it and it's just like, oh, this is, oh, I can't handle the emotional weight of this.
Right.
But then Spider-Man comes out and it's like John Hughes, but like spandexy.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And I think that's one of the things that I love about like Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Because I think we can probably agree that he's been at least the best like of both worlds, both Peter and Spider.
Absolutely.
Like, I think like, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, not Peter, but his Spidey. I liked his take on Spidey.
Yeah.
And I think Andrew Garfield was a really good like Peter, but like I did not like his Spider-Man like at all.
Right. Yeah.
But, like he and his relationship with Emma Stone was just so stinking adorable.
Yeah.
Like I was literally in tears when she died.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you make a really good distinction in actually talking about who is a better Peter and who is a better Spider-Man, because I don't know that I agree with you on now I'm dropping a blank. Second Spider-Man. Help me out here.
Andrew Garfield,
thank you. I didn't love Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, and I've said this several times before on other episodes, and the only reason is because he was more of a modern teenager, you know, personality. Whereas, you know, I always resonated with the classic super nerdy high school science geek Spider-Man, you know, Peter Parker, because as I've said before, I was the president of science club in my high school for 3 years. So like that was me. And so it was so much harder for me to resonate with Andrew Garfield in that sense. And yeah, I think, oh my gosh, now I'm just going to forget all of them. And this is going to be really bad. Tobey Maguire, his Peter overall, you know, at the time,
like a 30-year-old man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. It was just not that convincing. Ultimately, like at the time he was the only one that we had. So it was like, oh, this is great. This is awesome. But then, yeah, you look back on it now and you're like, but he was too old and he didn't really fit. But yeah, man.
But here's Tom, like, kind of pushing. I mean, he's not too much older than like the 15-year-old Peter he was supposed to be.
Right. He fit.
But, well, okay. I do have to laugh because Homecoming does have the funniest continuity error ever. Because, you know, if we're supposed to assume like the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies take place in the year in which they're released.
Right.
So, like, in universe. The Chitauri invasion was 2012.
Right.
And then Homecoming opens with 8 years later. So I guess Homecoming takes place in 2020. It's like a green continuity error. It's like you can't see anything but this giant glaring error.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it cracks me up because apparently Homecoming is like 3 years after the Infinity War.
Yes. Oh, funny. Wow, I never even thought about that. Oh, that's pretty. Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah. Well, and they've been playing with that because, like, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is supposed to be a direct follow-up to the first one.
Right.
Years later. And then Doctor Strange is, like, really early.
Yeah. You know, well, and so, okay, so I'm going to bring this up. Sorry to interrupt you and to completely take us in a different direction, but I found this interesting and I know you're about the only other person I could talk to who will also find this interesting. So I always meant to text you and I thought of this and again, didn't. So I was thinking about that cause it drove me nuts because I'm such a continuity freak. And I realized that Doctor Strange actually could have taken place in the year that it was released, specifically because of Project Insight, because of Winter Soldier. Because Arnim Zola's algorithm was designed to map out a person's personality and know exactly what could potentially happen to them, right? So it could have identified Stephen Strange as, like, he's high risk, he's going to get hurt, and then, you know, he's going to pursue means to do something else, and he's got the money. So he basically, you know, Project Insight could easily identify him as, well, this is going to be another Tony Stark because he's also a genius, kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Right? Yeah.
So,
right. So it's not identifying because he's a magician.
Yeah.
It's identifying him because he's like a kind of cocky jerk.
Right. Exactly. Money. Yeah. And so they, you know, it's safe to assume, yeah, it's going to be another Tony. And if Arnim Zola's algorithm was actually good, which let's just assume it is for the time being, that would totally make sense, right?
Wow, that's actually a really good point. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Like I said, I always meant to share it. Now I have. So there you go. You could draw on that for a while.
See, but that's like the beautiful part of like the MCU and kind of the connected universe is like, and that's why I kind of like would prefer like take out the 8 years later title card of Homecoming.
Right.
And just let us fill in our own gaps like the Netflix shows are doing.
Right.
But I think you open up so many storytelling possibilities by not filling in those holes if you don't need to. So like the Netflix shows can move. Like they say that they're post like incident, right?
Right.
But they don't really say what the incident is.
Right.
I guess I assumed that the incident for most of it referred to Sokovia, but then everyone else is like, no, the Chitauri. I was like, why is it so far back?
Yeah,
but that's like the nice thing about not defining it is when we don't know, you can move stuff around if you need to.
Right. Well, and I think it was cool because I can't remember if it was, well, so Jessica Jones did a lot of referencing to, I think it was to the, no, not to the fridge, to the ocean prison, which is where all of the heroes end up at the end Civil War, and I can't remember what it's called. It'll maybe come back to me later. But the other cool thing, I think it was in Luke Cage season 2, they made some like more direct references, and I think they actually like, I think Luke Cage like says some offhand comment about like, what am I, Captain America or something like that, which,
whoa, they didn't call him like the big green punchy guy or the guy
no
with the
like
shield.
I think they like straight up made a reference to one of the Avengers, and then they talk about the Sokovia Accords in one of the shows, so I was so I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, I like that they're like keeping this kind of street level mentality, but they're still aware of the greater universe. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, which is interesting because so I've watched bits of Cloak and Dagger, which is the worst part to watch, the worst way to watch a show.
Oh yeah,
so don't give me any. I know you're gonna be flooding my mentions on Twitter at Chris Worms. But like apparently Luke Cage 2 and Cloak and Dagger kind of link up, which I think is also really interesting.
A little bit, yeah,
because like it's like Netflix and then, you know, what will always be ABC Family in my heart.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of, it's so nice because like we might have lost, like remember having to watch Agents and the movies like on their release date.
Right. To actually,
because if you
make sure you're not getting spoilers,
Winter Soldier in time,
you're super confused. And
right.
You just spoiled Winter Soldier by watching the next Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Or when you're trying to figure out what they're picking up, when it's like the aftermath of Thor 2.
Yeah. Yep. So true.
We don't have that anymore, which is fine, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Spoiler alert, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of meshes a bit with Infinity War, but it wasn't like the week to week.
Yeah. And that was something.
Before.
Yeah. I think that was one of the things that I was frustrated with. And I, you know, and I think you've made this comment several times that the movies have never really bothered to acknowledge Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the slightest, so why should they return the favor, kind of thing.
I mean, really.
Yeah, but it, you know, I was a little disappointed that like their only tie-in to literally the biggest, most cataclysmic event that has happened in this universe is, oh, did you see the stuff that's going on TV? Oh, this Thanos guy. And then there's like a different alien invasion in there. And it was it Chicago.
Yeah.
And like, it's like a completely separate event. And you're like, it's hard to buy these stakes right now because that's going on, you know, 1,000 miles up the road.
How do we wait? Okay. I want to make a comment, but how do we feel about spoiling Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I, you know, hey fans, spoiler alert. We're about to spoil Ant-Man and the Wasp. All right, okay, we're good. Go for it.
So I think like Ant-Man and the Wasp did really well by not telling us exactly when it was in relation to Infinity War.
Right.
And then for the stinger to be the snap.
Yep.
I thought that was really well done.
That was but yeah, perfect.
When I'm watching Agents and they're fighting, and I'm like just waiting for the snap to happen because
exactly.
Who really knows how long Infinity War is?
So it could have happened over the course of days.
Exactly.
Or they're traveling to Titan in an hour.
Right.
So, but it's just kind of like, okay, so Daisy is like fighting and then all of a sudden she's just like, she's like disappearing.
Right.
That's been like, oh, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Well, and it seemed like the whole... I get the whole, you know, Fitz dying, which I'm still not, haven't 100% wrapped my head around what's going on there, because they like, he dies, and then they like make all of these comments that seem to indicate, oh, he's not dead, he's out there somewhere, we just gotta go find him. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Can we just talk about, for just 1 second, like, poor Fitz?
Yeah.
Because, like, talk about anyone who's gotten like the snot kicked out of him. First having like, I almost hate to say this, but this is what they, you know, they gave him like momentary brain damage.
Right.
Only for like 3 episodes later, he's fine.
Right.
It's like, so almost like insulting.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. It just seemed insensitive. Kind of like on Arrow when one of the characters was paralyzed and then she's walking again literally the next episode.
Oh,
like,
okay,
well, this isn't like disability rep, this is like almost making fun of disabilities.
Yeah,
but the Fitz one I was never quite cool with, and now if they're just doing that again, like, why couldn't it literally, there's like so many other people you could have just momentarily right. maimed if you needed to.
Well, and I think the thing was like, why did you create a reveal, right? Like, just go for the one that everyone's expecting. Like, you don't yeah. have to do something different. Like, just, you didn't even have to kill Fitz, just make him disappear.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, that creates the struggle of, well, then they're bound for the next season to be kind of caught up in the timeline for Avengers 4, but, you know, just commit to that, because if now we're going to have a whole season that's just, let's go find Fitz out there in the universe somewhere, I'm like, it's the same thing. So
yeah,
just go for your obvious.
And that's kind of the
thing that, like, it really shouldn't be that hard to just commit to, like, it's not even going to get released until Avengers 4 is done anyway.
Yeah, this
so,
is true.
Give him a call, ask what's going to happen, and then say, okay, well, we're kind of ignoring that. We just wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be a big continuity error.
Right.
But I think it's kind of funny because all of the other, like, directors are being so mum. Like, what happened to Shuri or their mom? Well, we're not going to say. You don't need to know until we need to know.
Right.
Agents is like, well, we're going to kill people and then it'll get snapped.
It's just like, why? That seems just like...
It's like killing Loki right before the snap.
Right.
It's like, this is how you make sure Loki is dead, but not Fitz.
Right.
So now all the Loki stands on like Tumblr are like,
maybe we have another chance for Loki. And I'm like, please. He's like almost as bad as Ward at this point.
Yeah. He really is. And that's the thing, you know, we were talking in our Slack channel after the movie came out, and that was one thing that somebody had said was, you know, the reality is some of these characters are going to stay dead, otherwise that movie means nothing.
Well, and I think that it was really like, so I loved basically the way they killed everyone.
Yeah.
And I think I just ended up on a list saying that.
Like, yeah,
the ones that they were presumably actually killed, like Loki and Gamora I think those were like so well done.
Yeah.
And even the ones that we're pretty sure are going to be, well, so like, you know, we know for a fact they've confirmed Black Panther 2, Spider-Man Far From Home, Guardians right. Volume 3.
Right.
So that's, unless it's like Rocket, nobody for Spider-Man.
Yeah. And, right.
Like
they bring in Miles Morales just like taking up the mantle of Spider-Man for, yeah.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
That would be really cool.
But like, they already kind of undid that big. So I loved it, like, the way when you expected Okoye to be the one who's about to disintegrate, and then it's T'Challa.
Right.
Like, that was all so well done. And, of course, the gut punch of Mantis and Peter's Parker, or Peter's powers.
Right.
They both are getting this forewarning that something's going to happen.
Right.
Just creating, like, that,
yep.
That extra, like, oomph to, like, the pain. Because it, the thing that was so beautiful about the way they did that is, like, even if you left the movie knowing who's like got their next movie coming up, knowing that like, okay, it's Spider-Man Far From Home next, it's still like hurt in the moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like,
and it was like so cool that they were able to do that. Like,
yeah,
it was so powerful. We've suspended our real world knowledge for a few minutes.
Exactly. And you know, it's, yeah, it's hard not to get emotional in that moment when Peter is stumbling into Tony's arms and knowing, like, if you're thinking about it, knowing all the character development that work that they've done with Tony and knowing this is the moment he has been dreading since Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. Like, he has known this is coming. This is why he has made so many mistakes in all these movies. Like, he knew this and he was dreading this because he has that vision of literally all the other Avengers yeah. dead around him. And then to have Peter collapse into his arms and I'm not ready, and he just
But I think I love it because, like, you kind of, like, when people are like, which movie should I watch before Infinity War? I think Infinity War, you could actually say all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of people were saying anything with Infinity Stones, and then these three are really good, so add those two.
Mm.
But, like, I thought about it in terms of, like, Iron Man 3, when he meets that kid, and he's super worried about, like, the kid's well-being getting yeah. caught up in his fight with Hammer. And then he leaves that kid behind, kind of feeling guilty, but leaves him, like, part of the suit. And then, like, all of Homecoming, he's like, you have to be, like, a good person on your own.
Right.
You have to undo all of my mistakes. And then, so not only does Peter die, he, like, sees, I'm betting he sees a bit of that kid from Iron Man 3.
Oh, totally.
There.
Yeah.
Like, all of the young people who looked up to him are potentially dead now.
Oh yeah. Oh, brutal.
So we can say, like, Tony's been in too much, and he has,
right?
But like, that scene really was like, you felt like the weight of the whole
yep
arc come exactly. to terms on him there.
Exactly. Yep. And it was like, there was a certain level of finesse in the way that they did the character development there that is just, oh, so good. So well done. And so here's another and thing. Okay. Sorry, if you have another comment on Tony, jump right in, because I'm going to take us down a different path for a minute.
Well, it's related, so I'll let you judge. I think one of my main gripes with Infinity War was that a lot of stories were kind of negated for the sake of Infinity War.
Mm.
So, like, if you think about the whole arc of Thor in the first three Thor movies,
mm-hmm.
was he's moving from Warhawk dude bro,
right,
into kind of like what it means to lead well without going to war,
right?
So, like, Thor 1 is the deconstruction of his violence. Thor 2 is like a restoration of the family,
right?
And then Thor 3 is like the anti-colonial, anti-imperial, like, challenge of what it means to be a king.
Yeah.
Not just like as nonviolent, but also as like accepting and open. And so, like, instead of, you know, Thor moves from like going to war with the frost giants to accepting the refugees into the ship,
right,
and restoring Valkyrie, Infinity War, his whole story arc is, I gotta get a big old axe.
Yeah. This
because is I have an axe to grind
pretty much
Thanos.
True. Yeah. Well, and I appreciated what they did with Thor in that regard, because the one thing that I really was frustrated by with Ragnarok, because I did not enjoy Ragnarok that much. I think I was trying a little too hard to be Guardians of the Galaxy, and mm-hmm. like the
I
elements
can agree with that.
Yeah, the elements were good. They just, like, I think the balance was off. Like, the balance of grief and humor that, like, Guardians 2, I think, did so well, Thor 3 just didn't get. But...
Yeah, and let me point out one example to say that I agree with you.
Yeah.
At the end, when Korg is holding the little guy.
Yeah.
Thor's like, where to next? And it's, like, a powerful moment.
Yeah.
And then it turns into, like, a, oh, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Like, it was funny. But then after the fact, I felt like hollow because I realized a moment didn't land because of that joke.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, I think that character, I think Korg specifically was just a bad character. Like, I think his intent as a comedic relief character didn't work.
But it's what we learned from Phantom Menace. You don't need comedic relief when there's no real tension.
This is true. This is true.
And here's the thing. I'll quote Korg all the time. Like, the piss off ghost. Like, it was funny. Like, I'm imagining, like, you know, Force Ghost. Piss off, Force Ghost.
Yeah. Oh, and I, you know, there's no question. He's hilarious as a character. I just didn't think he fit in this movie.
It just made the whole movie just was overwhelmingly, like, funny, and it wasn't going to let any, like, dramatic moments land.
Yeah.
And that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah. And that's where I really liked that conversation that Rocket and Thor have on the Milano, and they're sitting there and, you know, Rocket does the whole time to be the captain thing. And Thor is talking about, like, as he's, like, listing off, like, my mom's dead, my dad's dead, my brother's dead, my planet's gone. And I was like, oh, right. Trauma. Like, that's been a thing for you as a character for a while now. So I thought that was a good way to kind of indicate that we should be seeing some substantial character shifts from him. I don't think it was, like, enough to make me feel like, oh, Thor Ragnarok was just fine then. But it definitely at least made me go back and rethink, like, okay, no, that is a good point. That's a good thing to drive home to recognize. Of course, he's going to be a different person than he was, say, in Thor 2. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, especially, like, I think the thing that I loved was when he's getting his relationship with Loki restored, happens right before his faith in his dad is shaken.
Right.
And I think, like, that's one of the beautiful, like, pressing concerns of the MCU, especially the Thor movies, is family.
Right.
And it's not a huge theme, but that just makes, like, Infinity War that much more tragic when you see just, like, the refugees are dead.
Right.
And you've never gotten a chance to get to know them.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So here's the point I was going to make earlier that I wanted to back to. So I thought it was really cool. I started to notice this, and it's not exact, but it's pretty darn close. The Avengers who were left at the end of Infinity War, the characters who were left, were basically the originals. Right. You still got Tony. You still got Cap. You still got Banner. And you still got Black Widow.
Well, and now we can add the Ant-Man and the Wasp for, like, the original five.
Exactly. And that was one thing. It was just minor little hiccup with Ant-Man and the Wasp, because I really enjoyed that movie, was I was just so excited by that idea that when, again, spoiler alert, when Wasp got snapped, I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah. I mean, totally good, but shoot.
Well, I mean, and here's the hard part is, like, you know, when Wasp is snapped, we're like, oh, you gave us a woman for a movie and now she's gone. And I think especially when they're like, oh, we want a Scarlet Witch movie. Well, or I mean, sorry,
Black Widow
movie.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a little late for that.
Yeah.
We would have loved to see some of the new characters like the Wasp, but
yeah.
She dissed.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was another interesting thing. But then I also kind of went back on myself and realized, oh, wait, Cap wasn't an original Avenger, actually. So
yeah.
It doesn't quite fit that way anyway. So I was like, all right, I'll let that one go. Still would have been kind of cool to see, but I mean, heck, the whole process has been cool to see. So who am I to complain?
Well, and here's the hard part is, like, who knows about Hawkeye, even though we're hoping he's gone.
Right.
Because
wait,
does Hawkeye have any fans anymore?
Hey.
Like, I'm sorry, I can't help but see Hawkeye as the big distracting subplot from Age of Ultron.
Mm.
We're supposed to spend all of Avengers 1 waiting until Natasha and Clint fall in love.
And right. then it's like, oh, and then turn around he's and got a family.
Yeah. Wait, that was not that relationship babies. Dynamic at all. Oops.
Yeah. You're like, you were wrong for wanting that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little bit of a bait and switch on the MCU's part, for sure.
But the thing is, I didn't even really notice he wasn't in Infinity War.
Right. Well, and it's tough because he is such a, you know, he's been a relatively minor character, and he doesn't have, like, particularly relevant arcs, and the way that they kind of brushed him out, I was like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's good narrative work. That's fine. I like him just because he's up there in my list of favorite heroes. I've always been drawn to the Robin Hood motif. So, you know, Archer heroes are just like, that's cool.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's the one reason that I'm like, I want him back. But yeah, I mean, I don't think his presence was really necessary for Infinity War, because he's like one of those characters. I mean, he almost feels like one of those characters who would be like Luke Cage or Jessica Jones, who's like on the streets, like, I do this, I take care of people and I stop crimes and, you know, watch out for the little guy kind of thing. And I have no business taking on Thanos, you know?
I think that's the funny part of, like, well, why doesn't TV and movies cross over for Infinity War? And then Matt Murdock just gets his, like, butt handed to him, like, one punch later.
Right.
Thanos just, like, punches him and he's like, oh my God, yeah. I'm gonna get everything.
Yep.
So it might be fine that my favorite heroes were spared from.
Right.
And it's hard for me to think, like, I have such, like, a hard time investing in, like, Runaways, that if I saw, like, the Runaways on screen, I'd be like, okay, this is cool connectivity wise, but, like,
Yeah. Yeah. See, I enjoyed the Runaways a lot because I read the comics when I was in high school. It was just one of the comic book series I actually got into for a while. So I was super stoked about it. I thought it was really fun and pretty well done. I was also super excited about Cloak and Dagger, but I also had that inhibition in the back of my head saying it's a, and I will say the same thing because I agree with you, it's an ABC Family show. So, you know, I knew it was going to be kind of weak drama, and it doesn't disappoint in terms of the number of scenes you have where it's just two broody teenagers with music playing in the background and you're like, stuff is happening. No, they're just sitting there. They're just thinking. This has nothing to do with narrative. We're just listening to music and chilling out, I guess. They're being teenagers. Cool.
Which it really isn't like a bad thing to have, because I think, especially as of late, some of the MCU movies have just been go, 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 like,
that's
nonstop
true.
Movement.
Yeah.
That to restore a little bit of like humanity to our heroes is a really good thing.
That's true.
So in Runaways, when, towards the end, when they're all like, we need to investigate this highly important matter. Oh, quick sex break.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, they're teenagers.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty comical.
So I watch Iron Man 3 by myself much? No. But do I kind of miss some of those like finer character arcs? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And that's just where Infinity War, I'm hoping that it's kind of like the last plot driven for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely on board with some of these like character movies. Like,
absolutely.
Spider-Man Homecoming was barely a superhero movie at points.
Yeah.
And that was A-okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. And I think I have to check myself on that, because Well, because I'm easily drawn into Shock and Awe, honestly, and I really like Deus Ex Machina, so having these big, like, climactic moments things, right? But, you know, I'm in the same boat. At the end of the day, I'm like, okay, Infinity War, it was awesome, it was well done, it was the culmination of all of this other stuff, but yeah, I'm not going to be... The reason I'm into it is because I can see those moments. I mean, basically, I'm into it because the snap means something. Right. Yeah. Like I know these characters. I've walked with these characters for so long. I know their lives. I know their struggles. And I know how many people's fears are coming true in this movie, you know, and that kind of thing. So it is, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the glory of Infinity War, is not that it was just a really high quality action movie with a lot of flash and bang, but it was drawing together all of these character threads that have been headed in this direction for so long.
Oh, yeah. And I think, like, so as long as they can resist the urge of making the next big event like the comics, where it's like, oh, it's the next number, it's time for a new event, I'm totally okay with like an Infinity War every decade. Because this is really the payoff of all of the 19 prior movies.
Right. Yep, I agree.
TV shows, I think, like, even if they're not directly a part of it, you still, like, I still felt myself like concerned, like, oh, I wonder who got snapped from Netflix. Like,
yeah, right.
I hope it was Danny and not Colleen.
Oh, so true. So true. But also, considering he's in the trailers for Iron Fist 2, I don't think
we don't know when it takes place.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But I think, like, that's the beauty of, like, I would just love to see the next, like, 3 years of the MCU just take the Infinity War as a past event
and give everyone an Iron Man 3.
Mm.
That, like, I'd love to see Far From Home be like
Peter reacting to death, literally. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And fighting Mysterio.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, or, like, I agree.
Especially if they, like, move Guardians of the Galaxy 3 from, like, 2014 to post-Infinity War. That'd be, like, super interesting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think you make a good point. Because I think, you know, Iron Man 3, as much as I was disappointed in it in the moment, I always had the hopes that, like, Age of Ultron would come around and, you know, make it more meaningful than it seemed to be to me at the time. And I think it did that because I think, again, it just set up that character development for Tony that we had all the way up to Infinity War. And I agree to have the characters actually sit back and just deal with all of that. I think it would introduce a new dynamic into, you know, superhero film that we haven't really seen a lot of yet. And I think it's necessary because I think it's a new direction that will help to, you know, keep things fresh. So people aren't just like, oh, it's another Avengers movie, why should we care anymore, kind of thing.
Well, and that's the thing, because I think if you ask, like, Joe Blow on the street, and I really don't mean to sound condescending, but I think for a lot of people, like, there's no real difference between Justice League and Avengers. They don't know there's two companies. They're like, oh, another superhero movie.
Right.
But there's something about, like, the Marvel films that bring people in, where the DC films, even if you don't really know it's different, haven't.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, like, Man of Steel was like Man of Sad. It was like Iron Man 3 before any of the events happened.
Right.
Just like Justice League was Avengers before, if Avengers was the first movie.
Yeah.
But I think the MCU now has that space to say, like, okay, here's Spider-Man dealing, but the next film could be like Kamala Khan kind of being her own, like, hero now. You can still have both. And I hope they do kind of forward and backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm afraid if, like, this Fox deal comes through and they get their X-Men and they get their four, I'm afraid we're just going to, like, barrel forward too fast.
And I know that's Yeah.
I don't want it to just switch into, like, what's the MCU's version of the Dark Phoenix, or I don't, whatever Fantastic Four event has ever happened.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree.
I would just love, like, if they're like, we'll put the X-Men in, like, maybe slowly, if they do at all.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I would love to see the MCU just reboot the whole stupid setup with X-Men. Start from scratch. Give us something good, because Fox has never handled that well. And don't try and pick up the threads. Don't even try and bring them into the MCU. Let the X-Men be the X-Men, because they always kind of have been, you know? Like, sure, many of them end up in, like, these big cosmic events in the Marvel Universe, but at the end of the day, like, the X-Men go home to the mansion, and we don't, you know, they've got their own comic. They stay away from the Avengers.
Like at any point, the Marvel, like, comics would have, like, the super, like, they would have the event, and then X-Men are, like, having their own little X event.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And I think that's, like, a perfect way to think about, like, what their role should be.
Yeah.
I would hate to lose maybe, like, the Deadpool movies.
Mm.
We're also at this rate where how many Colossuses have there been? And I'm not even saying, like, okay, there was Peter Rasmussen in the background. There were, like, two, like, prominent Colossi.
Right.
And two Juggernauts. And not even because of, like, the time change. There wasn't, like, 80s Juggernaut and current Juggernaut. There was current Juggernaut 1, current Juggernaut 2.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
Whatever you want to say about Days of Futures Past being a reboot, the fact that it opened with, like Famke Janssen's Jean Grey, and then Apocalypse was, like, let's just be boring instead.
Yeah, right? Yeah, well, so here's to hoping that's not the direction we go.
Well, and you know what? I don't really have much hope for, like, Sony's character of Marvel, or Sony's universe of Marvel characters, as they're calling it, as I will never refer to it again.
Yeah, right?
If Venom can be good, that's great. But I don't know. I have such a difficulty, like, getting, like, excited for X films and side Spider-Man films. Because,
right,
say what you will, I'll take 8 years later continuity error over just, like, random one-off movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the payoff of seeing, like, Tony in Spider-Man or Black Widow in Captain America, that's just worth it, I think.
Yeah. Yep,
and the fact that we might have to wait till Venom 2 if we turn out to like Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yep. All right. Well, I think, for one thing, my poor dog has been stuck inside pretty much all day because I've been working some long days, long hours, hence the not feeling well and the cough. So I think that is as good a place as any to call it a wrap, because we're going to do this for hours on end if we don't just stop at some point.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yep. So, well, thank you for coming on. Oh,
the worst part is you're all going to have to suffer through the Star Wars cast with me, too.
Oh, yes. Chris will be, as he mentioned, we are both huge Star Wars fans. So pretty much anytime we've brought up Star Wars and you've heard us mention the name Chris, this is the guy. He will be back.
Hello.
Probably fairly soon. Yeah. So if you liked him, give him a tweet, tell him he's awesome, because he is. And speaking of that, Chris, where can people find you on the social interwebs?
Yes, I am all over the social webs. So on Twitter, I'm at Chris Werms, Werms. And so there I currently write a series on, I'm reading through the chronological order of Star Wars Legends novels, and writing reviews and kind of like wrap-ups of those, which are a lot of fun. So that's at Minock Manor. I also write for a Star Wars biology site called Porgology, because I'm absolutely enamored with the porgs. And you can see some of my guest posts at 1138.com, which I'm not too frequent on, but I love that site. And you can... Well, follow me on Twitter, because I'm constantly on Twitter.
Yeah, he really is. When I couldn't get a hold of him on text, I was like, am I really going to have to tweet at Chris just to get his attention right now?
Yes, probably. Well, and here's the thing. I work at a computer. I don't work on a cell phone.
Fair enough.
Twitter can be open if my phone is not on me.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I'd love to hear about you. You can fight us both on our bad Thor Ragnarok points of view, or anything else. And if you have something Star Wars you desperately need to hear from me,
you know, follow me. I usually follow back. I'm thirsty for attention.
So. I can also confirm that fact. All right. Well, you guys know, you guys know where to find us, MinMaxPod, on all the social media except for Reddit, where we are the MinMax Podcast. If you do have comments, you can tweet at Chris and he'll probably share them with me, or, you know, shoot us an email to our Gmail, which is minmaxpod@gmail.com. Otherwise, I guess I forgot to do this at the beginning, but just to give you guys an update. So Alan and Ashley have been in Scotland for just under a week at this point. They are getting things settled. Things sound like they're going pretty well. Sounds like they're going to have to be off the air for a little bit longer. You know, it's a lot of transitioning to do, a lot of work. So probably at least the next couple weeks, you'll still be hearing my voice more than usual. I'm working on pulling together. If you've guessed, sorry, my dog is now wrapping herself up in my headphone cords. So this is becoming increasingly more difficult by the minute. Hopefully we will have at least Alan back soon. Ashley's going to be starting school here shortly. So, you know, her schedule might be very hit or miss, but we'll get back to some semblance of normalcy, hopefully within the next month or so. So there you have it, folks. This has been episode 61. Hit us up. Let us know what you think and how you're feeling. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.